My name's Emma Cooper, and you're listening to the Network Marketing Mum audio experience. Self-worth is such a weird one because it's almost like you don't know you have an issue with it until something has to stand out. Something has to happen normally. Something, or maybe many things happen in a sequence. Like you start recognizing patterns in your behavior and you're like, why do I always do that? Because that's not what I want the outcome to be, or, you know, that's not how I want to be. But you find yourself doing those things anyway. It's like self-sabotage. You're thinking, why do I keep doing this? I know the result. I don't like the result, but I still do it. And we find our way. Some cases people don't find their way to it, but we find our way to realizing that it's actually some issues with self-worth, feeling like you're worth it. My first experience with realizing that I had issues with self-worth, but I didn't even know that's, you know, it was called self-worth then, was when I was assaulted in the police. I had come across a burglar, but he was this massive guy, and I had taken a beating from him, and I mean a real beating. There was not a lump, there was not a space on my head that there wasn't a lump. And after that, I still chased him, and it was early hours in the morning, I was on my own, and I still chased him, and as I dived on his back, my colleagues turned up, at which point I kind of CS sprayed and, you know, had handcuffed him, and that was it. But I was really injured. And it, I guess, kind of took the stuffing out of me. And for a little while, I thought, God, Em, like, why do you do that? And everyone was like, Em, that was insane. That was amazing. Well done you. Oh, my God, that guy's huge. You know, what, you know, how did you manage to still chase him? And that part of it, like, felt good to me. It did make me feel good. But then there was the other side that thought, that was stupid, Em. And I remember a sergeant at the time saying to me, listen, Burrows, great lockup, but at what cost? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, my head will be fine. But he said, Em, think about it. If you had just ran behind him and jogged, you know, and waited until backup arrived and then you pounced on him, would that have had any different outcome? And I thought, that's interesting. But I didn't think too much of it. And I thought, yeah, but, you know, I got the lockup and, you know, I got him, so that's great. And I didn't think much more about it. And then a few months later, I was in another incident where a guy was, early hours in the morning again, stealing something out of a car. I caught him, and he, we ended up fighting in the middle of the road, basically. And I remember thinking, the harder I hurt him, the more he's going to hurt me. So I'm scared. And that guy got away. And so I felt after that, I don't know what sequence of events or what actually happened, but I ended up being sent for counselling, like, by the welfare department. I spoke to an amazing guy, and he was ex-military. He was a really good guy, and I didn't want to be there. And I was like, listen, I don't want to sit here and talk about feelings and stuff like that. It's just not me. So can I just sit here and we'll just chat about whatever you want to chat about? But I really don't want to do the whole go deep thing. And I've just got to do 6 weeks of this and then I can be signed off, so I'll be all right with you. And he was like, well, let's just take it week by week and we'll do whatever you want. Anyway, cut a really long story short. I ended up talking to him after a few weeks, it took me. But I ended up talking to him, and I used to think that therapy was like figuring out, I don't know, your dad gave your sister one more pee when you were six, and therefore you like got, you're really troubled, you don't feel loved and all this, which was ridiculous. And I love therapy now. I think it's the best thing ever. I really do. I'm a massive advocate for it. I'm like, go, what's the worst that can happen? You sit and have a chat with like a fairly decent person or a really amazing person, depending on, you know, your pick. But at the time, it just was really alien. And I remember one of the guys in work saying, like, oh, are you going to welfare for counselling? was like, no, my egg. Because I didn't want anyone to know. It was like a bit, yeah, like a shame thing, really. And it shouldn't be. Anyway, it turns out that I changed schools quite a bit. I did different clubs and things. So I was always kind of like the new girl. And I didn't mind that. I quite enjoyed it, really. But I mean, I was terrified to go to school every single day. I can honestly say every single day that I went to school, my entire time, I had a bad tummy in the morning. I don't know what it was. I was just one of those kids. That was just me. So when he said about kind of like needing to be accepted and needing to feel like I was good enough and proving myself. So, you know, I didn't need to keep chasing that guy. Why did I? What was it? What was the motivator? Was it to prove to myself? Was it to prove to others? And it was that acceptance from others. It was proving to myself, but it was also acceptance from others. And it was me being honest enough with myself to say, yeah, that's why I did it. There were many things that I did when I was in the police that were dangerous, really. And when I think about it, they're all driven by that need to be accepted and, you know my own worth, I guess. Feel like I was good at something, because I never felt like I was like really good at anything. But I was really good at stuff. I was a great disco dancer. I used to win loads of trophies. Like, I was good at loads of different things. But I just had that lack of self-worth. And this is a conversation that my mum and I have had many times. And we're just so confused and baffled by it, because my sister and I, and my brother, but my sister and I, because we're both girls, we grew up in the same household. We grew up with the same kind of subconscious messages. And, you know, that was all positive, 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 positive. But for some reason, like, Nick had loads of confidence and I had zero. And it could be the fact that I had an older sister and she was like annoyingly beautiful. She was like an American teenager, you know, the blonde hair, beautiful teeth and everything. And I was like brown, perm, brace, like complete opposite. I remember thinking like, oh, man, I was so envious of her when I was younger. Of course, when you get older, it just grows into absolute adoration. Like, oh, you're amazing. And I bloody love that. But, you know, when you're younger, maybe it was something to do with that. I spoke to my sister about it as well. I said, do you think it might be that? She's like, I don't know. Like, was it a big thing for you? I was like, yeah, I think when I was younger, you know, when I was having my braces and all that stuff, I was really like insecure. Plus I had freckles. I didn't go brown in the sun. Those kind of things could, you know, have kind of planted those seeds. Self-worth is such an important aspect of mental health and also well-being. So I know that people can shy away from talking about mental health, but it's more mental well-being, right? We want to be well and mentally. So I'm going to give you a few tips for improving your self-worth. Over the years, I have really kind of dug deep into this, and I continue this work, by the way. I always continue it because things raise their heads and I just think it's such a good thing to do. Which leads me in nicely to point one, which is practicing self-care. So making sure that you're taking care of yourself in those important areas, like emotionally, physically. You know, I don't know whether it's the wrong, I hate the message of like being skinny and being thin and all this stuff. But I also don't like the, you know, big is beautiful message, because everybody's beautiful, right? I truly believe that. I'm like, everyone's beautiful. But if you're big, so if you're carrying a lot of like high percentage of fat on your body, that's unhealthy. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care about any of the other stuff. I'm talking about health. And one of the signs of being unhealthy is carrying extra, you know, body fat. And so there's always been this battle with me as well. Part of me wants to be like, just love your body and love it. But there's always this thing of like, no, you're not healthy and you need to be healthy. I want to live a long and energetic life. And in order to do that, I need to have good, healthy, a good, healthy body. And so taking care of myself physically will mean eating healthier. Of course, you're eating healthy. I'm not going to be carrying the excess weight. I'm not going to be flagging with the kids. I'm not going to be too embarrassed to put a swimming costume on and take my kids swimming, you know, and I'm not going to miss out on doing those things because of my, not insecurities, but my lack of self-care that I'm nurturing and nourishing my body. Also, mental health. There are so many things that we have to do to take care of ourselves mentally. I am loving the medical medium. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. If you haven't, go follow him on Instagram. He's got like 4 million followers. He's absolutely incredible. What he doesn't know, in my opinion, is not worth knowing. And at the minute, I'm studying his Brain Saver books for more reasons than one, but I'll share those with you over time. So self-care is practicing things like getting enough sleep. You know, people wear like a lack of sleep like a badge of honor, like, yeah, I only need 4 hours. like it's something to be proud of. Like, some people might actually need that, but are you running on like 100%? Are you feeling energetic? Are you waking up with boundless energy? And if not, then you might need more sleep. So getting enough sleep is absolutely vital. I always say, like, you can cope with anything if you've had enough sleep. Eating a healthy diet. I know not everyone can afford to like pick organic. I know that not everyone is overly interested in diet. But if when you follow the medical medium or you get interested like I have, you realize that everything starts with that. So eating a healthy diet, engaging in activities that bring you joy. Engaging in activities that bring you joy. I find this so difficult as an exercise to write down what I enjoy doing. I think before my sister got sick and diagnosed, I was living in Lanzarote and I really was enjoying bike riding. I really was enjoying running. I was really getting into, I had tried like being a vegan for a little bit, you know, figuring that out for myself. It's not for me right now. But, you know, we are dairy free, we're just not meat free. But in terms of giving yourself time to figure out how you want to live, who you want to be, what brings you joy, and what helps you relax, relaxation is just as important. You need the downtime. Again, people wear it like a badge of honor, like, oh, I never sit down. I'm always on the go. Like, okay, cool, if that works for you. But for me, I know I need a balance of both. It took me a long, long time to realize that it's okay to just sit and to just be. That's all right. And it's almost a skill to be able to empty your head of everything else that's going on and just be. People talk about being in the moment. Well, that's just being. And it's cool. And it's great. And it might take you some learning in order to do it, but it's great. Number two is to set goals. But I want to say this with a bit of a disclaimer. I don't believe in the goal setting practices of, you know, really going completely crazy, putting this stuff on vision and goal boards, having no plan to get there, or breaking it down, but really having no day-by-day steps that you can do. I always say with people who, especially if you started a new year right now and you're thinking, you know, oh, it's the 9th of January, what's the bloody point? You know, I've already like eaten crap, I've already had a couple of drinks, or I said I wasn't going to do this, and the person that I want to be wouldn't be doing, you know, or having the habits that I have, and oh God, you know, already I'm into another year and it's just 1 year's bled into another, and what's the... And if you're feeling like that, then you're thinking about everything in the wrong way. There's never going to be one day that is the day that everything changes. You can transition just gently into new habits. You can transition gently into setting goals. You can transition gently into dreaming again. Maybe you stopped. I stopped for years, too scared to think about future because I couldn't bear the thought of it without my sister. it took me time. It's taken me time. It still challenges me now. Even when I'm saying it, I'm getting choked up. And the reason for that is because sometimes life throws you curveballs. But you have to be able to like flow with that curve as opposed to just getting wiped out by it. Because sometimes the force of those curveballs is strong and it completely takes your legs from underneath you. But you've got to be able to find your way back. That's the important thing. And as much as I say setting goals and achieving them, I mean like the smallest of things. That could be that every morning you get up and you juice. It could be every morning you get up and you take your supplements. It could be every morning you get up and you go for a walk. It could be, or 5 out of 7, you know. Start with something, just something. Number 3 is surrounding yourself with supportive people. This is so important. Surrounding yourself with people who genuinely care about you and will really support you. That can actually improve your self-worth. And likewise, if the opposite is happening, imagine what that does to your self-worth. This has happened to all of us in life. We've all had people who have come into our lives or left our lives, and you know, it throws up all kinds of emotions. Is it me? Do I attract this? All of the self-worth issues, you know, well, maybe I'm not worthy of it, of friends that, you know, match up to what I want, or, you know, treat me differently or whatever. Maybe you can look at it retrospectively and see that maybe there were red flags, like relationships, you know, maybe there were the red flags. Oh, well, to be honest, when they did this, this kind of showed me a different side or true colours or whatever you want to call it. And you should have taken action then. That should have been the time where you said, you know what, doesn't quite match up to where I'm at or what I'm willing to give in the friendship or relationship or whatever it is. So, you know, I'm either going to distance that and just sit it there as like, you know, what it is, or I'm just not, I haven't got space for it in my life. Finding the right people is liberating. It does almost feel too good to be true. Finding people that are just so wholesome that there's not a jealous bone in their body. There is not a envious or competitive bone in their body in the right places. There is not any ulterior motive other than they like you or love you enough to support you 100% and you do them. And that's it. One of the things my sister taught me was that the real measure of life is to love unconditionally and to be loved unconditionally. And I think there's real, real power in that. Number 4 is to practice gratitude. And I know people can feel silly doing this. I know it's something that people don't find that easy or they don't stick to because it's actually too easy. Practicing gratitude makes you focus on the things that you're grateful for. That can then help you see the good in your life and not just the things that maybe you're being challenged with, maybe you're finding difficult right now. You start with the simple things. You know, thank you for, you know, I'm so grateful that I've woken up another day. I'm so grateful that I'm able to choose healthy foods. I'm so grateful that my body is able to exercise. I'm so grateful that I am healthy in mind. I'm so grateful, fill in the gap, practicing gratitude. And number 5, which might surprise you because of my story at the beginning, but is seek therapy. If you're struggling with low self-worth, if you're considering, you know, talking to somebody, then find someone that's qualified. They can help you identify, work through underlying issues. They can help with your issues that are kind of contributing to your low self-worth. And it's a first step into saying, I acknowledge I have an issue here and let me change it. Therapy's been the best thing that ever happened to me. I have the best guy to recommend, Graham. So just reach out if you want his details. He changed everything for me. And I think he changed the course of my grief too. Doesn't mean it's been any less painful. He can't take that away. but helping me have coping mechanisms, helping me work out other areas of my life which weren't bringing me joy, which weren't working out for me, which was affecting everything. Identifying the self-worth stuff. It was the best thing that I have ever done. And I would recommend it to anybody. Self-worth is something that I'll be talking about a lot. It's something that affects a lot of people. It's something that we'll maybe always have to work on. But it's something that should be talked about more. And it's perfectly okay to acknowledge that you need to do some work there. I hope this has helped. I will see you in the next episode. This podcast was sponsored by MyProPlanner, the number one planner for network marketers.